Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara. And you're listening to the podcast where we pick a topic and we haul the shit out of it.
The original audio haul show of 2023.
You've heard it here first. And today we're taking a turn down fashion lane and we are hauling summer fashion trends.
Okay, we've come to the end of the five-part television program known as The Idol. Lara, I am actually dying to hear your final thoughts because we haven't discussed it yet, and I feel like you were a little bit spot on in terms of plot. So, thoughts, feelings, go.
I just want to say that it feels good to be right about kind of the twist that Ms. Jocelyn is actually in control the entire time and that she's a bit using everyone to serve her needs and her interests. I liked that at the end of the series, it became clear that she's the cult leader. I wish a lot of things had been done differently. I wish that the writing had been done a little bit differently to really kind of tie everything together better, because I do think the subject matter was really interesting. The costumes, the characters, the songs, the world of the show was all like A pluses, but it did feel a little haphazard and not well mapped out at times. And I think that if it had been given a couple more passes at like, how do we really make the plot clear of like what's happening and kind of track these characters' intentions and motivations, it would have just been stronger at the end. I hate that the hater mob kind of got the show canceled. I think that that's an L for creatives everywhere. I think that they tried to shoot it in the foot before it came out. Like,
or just counterpoint, was the powers that be at HBO Max like, oh, this isn't that good, so let's create like some buzz around it of in the form of like
a hit piece,
Hater Nation, and then drum up like more interest in it, and then everybody's tuning in to see if it's as bad as they say it is.
Given The Weeknd and the Sam Levinson like euphoria of it all, I think people would have tuned in either way because that is like high profile enough to at least get like a first week of viewers doing well. I don't know if in the case, like, I'm all for like conspiracy theory of like the all press is good press, so let's just like put this bad thing out there because it'll get tongues wagging. But I don't think in the case of this and in this cultural climate, people calling something like torture porn and like, I don't think that that's going to do positive for the show at large.
You're probably right about that. I'm like, I'll tune in.
That is the only thing that I would say. Like, I don't think that HBO would be like, yeah, let's like really have someone call this like some sort of Me Too disaster of a show and that'll like get the girlies running. But I did not find the show to be that particularly morally offensive, but I have a pretty high bandwidth for all that kind of shit. So I'm more of like, just let it, I wish it had more time to breathe. I wish they didn't cut it down to 5 episodes because I do think it needed another episode to like let the characters marinate and then watch Jocelyn get to a point where she's like kicking this guy out of her house. It went from like 0 to 60 from episode 4 to episode 5. And I would have liked to track that, like Tedros's meltdown and her turning and then getting all the others on her side and then like reigning supreme by the end.
Everything felt half-baked. I actually liked this last episode the best out of all of them. Yeah, it just like the flow and like the build just wasn't there. I thought her like sexy at home performance was fun. It was very Nomi Malone, but I hated the ending. I thought it was stupid.
I liked that because she basically like reversed did what he was trying to do to her, which is like destroy her, put her through hell, like break someone down to nothing, strip them of everything that they have so that then now they're only dependent on you. She right. did to him. So she was like, I've taken your entire like protege team. I've had you like physically removed from my presence. The hit pieces come out. You've been exposed. Everyone thinks you're a joke. And your only way back in is now through me, and I'm in control. So it was very, I'm the captain now. And I was like, work.
Okay.
So that part I liked. I do think it needs like, it needs another, I don't know where it could go with another season now, because it seems like they very much wrapped it up. Though I keep seeing conflicting reports that like maybe it will get another one, but I don't think, I'm not, my hopes aren't up.
I'm okay with us not getting another one, but I loved the styling in the last episode. Like it was all like the makeup, costume, like it was all on the level for sure. But
the hairbrush moment, though, I will say, I was like, you didn't notice that this hairbrush was brand new when you were like spanking her with it like 6 weeks ago.
I hated the hairbrush storyline. I hated it so much.
The hairbrush thing really triggered a lot of people, but I was like, okay, it's a hair, like let's all collectively move on. Sometimes stage moms are gonna beat their kids with a hairbrush. It's just, that's Hollywood. That's showbiz for you plebs out there. But then I was like, to have it all hinge on like, wait, this hairbrush is actually brand new.
New?
Mm-mm. And I'm like, okay, we could have just not ever spoken about the hairbrush, or she could have just been like, by the way, the hairbrush was a lie. Like, you don't have to have him discover it. It felt very like try hard, but not fully planned out. But I like her like taking everything away and building him back up, which is also like part of his ethos, which was like, you need pain in order to like make it, like make your art kind of thing.
True. So overall, in the Two Niche Berry official grade system,
overall, I'm giving it a B+ because I was entertained. I was intrigued. I kept tuning in. I liked the world. I wasn't like dying to know what was next, but I also wasn't like offended like how I am when I watch And Just Like That. And I truly just take, mostly to just take a stand against like trying to knock something down before it even can breathe or see the light of day. I just am so against that. So that's what the B+ is for.
Okay. I'm giving it a C+ because it gave me something to talk about. I appreciate the fodder. I had fun with where it was lacking. Like, it was just a fun thing to witness. And it doesn't make me as angry as And Just Like That. So that's something.
It didn't make me angry at all. I was just like, okay, this is like kind of bad. And like, it's funny that it's so bad. If anything, that kind of thing gives me hope where you're like, oh, well, the bar is pretty low. So if you just meet like an aesthetic level, you can kind of do a lot. And it gave us like a really good Lily Rose Depp role. And I just am dying to see what I'm like 1000% like hanging on.
You're a Depp head.
To everything that she does. I'm a huge Depp head. We needed a Depp win in...
Certainly.
In 2023, some Depp had to come out on top, and I'm glad that it's Lily Rose.
Amen.
But one last question. Who were those other random women that just happened to be in the house?
That was new, right?
That was new. We had not seen those women before.
And that's I also really loved in the edit how in every different clip, they were standing in a different location.
Like, I don't understand why.
It was so mixed up.
Why, as like a executive or like a showrunner or anyone in a power position, why would you be like, now we just have to cut it down to five. Like, if you already know it's tanking, you already know you're not going to have a second season, you might as well just like let that, you've committed to six episodes, just let them, let it play out. Like, doesn't it seem like way more work to like put everyone through hell and be like, we're taking away an episode from you? Cause we're
like, did you see those pictures from the original version where it showed Lily Rose's whole like Disney kid persona and all of that? See, I would have loved to like have that more fully formed.
The original version did sound better.
I want that edit.
Because not only were Elizabeth Berkley and Anne Heche in the original one, but like I think the conceit was that Lily Rose seeks out the cult and then she moves into their house and is like becomes one of them, which makes a lot more sense than like
that's cooler.
One guy getting his claws into her and then suddenly everyone's like moving into her house. Like, cause that also just tracking wise, when she's like, get out, and then he won't get out. It's like, no, if you wanted him out and you're like a what mega rich pop star, you can have him ejected at any time.
Yeah.
Like, it makes far more sense if like, if also like with the team involved, the team is going to be way more concerned if like suddenly this person's unreachable because she's living in a house, like she's left her house and is like living with these other people.
Also,
rather than like
that talent show.
I like a talent show.
I liked it.
I like all those performers. I love, like, I truly am like, everyone slayed this except for Sam Levinson, the writer of the show.
Yeah.
The writing was not good. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I also am like, I give The Weeknd a pass. Like, maybe he made some choices as this Tedros character and like, we just have to let him act. I'm a true radicalized idol apologist and I will never look back from that.
I'm proud to know you.
I'm standing my ground, but I would have liked to see the other version of the show too. Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Shall we haul?
Let's haul.
Okay. So fashion trends of summer 2023. I've heard a lot of conversations for women our age in like the mid to late 30s range of not really knowing what to put on their bodies lately.
I've been suffering from body confusion syndrome when it comes to fashion for a minute. And number one, I think it's like when it gets hot, I don't know what to wear exactly, because when I put on cutoff shorts, which are usually my like go-to summer thing, I feel like this isn't right anymore. These are like too short, or I'm like, I've aged out of like a cutoff journey outside of just like being by the pool or going to the beach. Like, it just doesn't feel appropriate anymore. So I've been, long story long, a little bodily confused, but I'm figuring it out. And I also think that I can have some tips and tricks to share that will like help people in our age bracket.
Something happened to me during COVID and post COVID, and it's just that like, I'm going to say it still has like a stylish edge, but I am only going for cozy. And I think part of it is good because being a 5 foot tall woman, I always wore insanely high shoes and never really put my comfort first. Now I'm like in flats. I don't care. It's hard for me to like get out of a place of comfort. I love a bike short for the summer. For the heat, and then like a baggy button down, I think is like where I've been, the lane I've been living in if I'm just going day to day. But cotheads will know I have a long career in fashion pre-podcasting. So I always keep my eye on the trends and, you know, love style, love clothes, not so much pro-consumption, but I am pro-finding key pieces that excite you and like make you thrilled about getting dressed every day.
Yeah. I'm about like spending big, but spending big because you know I'm going to have this for a really long time. And like, this is something that I can see myself wearing like this summer, next summer, into potentially like eternity. and not necessarily buying a trend just because it's like, oh, everyone's wearing this and I want to have it too.
Exactly. We have a bit of source material. We pulled from TikTok. We've pulled from Vogue UK, which I think is far superior to the American Vogue.
Agree.
We've pulled from Who What Wear. We've done some boots on the ground research as to what the powers that be are saying are the trends right now. We're just going to go through them and see if what our fields are. We're hauling them. So first up, they've been saying this one's been coming for a while. It is now here in tandem with the movie Barbiecore. So it's just like hot pink everything, essentially.
I'm finding Barbiecore to be fun in the sense that I like looking at Margot Robbie in Barbiecore. And like, I like looking at other girlies doing their version of Barbiecore. But for me doing it, I'm like, this is alienating and I can't get on board.
Yeah, not for me. I actually have trouble with anything out of a stone tone palette. So I'm always going for like blacks, whites, beige, and some like anywhere in between there. Like a pop of color is fun. If let's say I had like an event to go to, I would do like a hot pink dress, no problem. But I think that the promotion for the Barbie movie and the fashion choices that Margot Robbie has made while doing that made me excited about that film. Like as soon as she went into a lane of vintage Versace and like copying the looks head to toe.
Yeah, I was like, that's very cool. Excited by that. The like metallic skirt and sweater and loafer combo, I died. I was so happy.
So good. And I loved how she did a red carpet look and went exact. There was like a day to night Barbie and she started the carpet in the day look and then ended it in the night look. Like I just love the thought that went into it, or the Hervé Léger black and white striped that was a nod to the original Barbie bathing suit. Like the fashion historian in me was very excited.
Yeah, I love, like, I would love the idea of having like a Barbie party or like a event where you could encourage everyone to be Barbiecore. Or like when I think Selling Sunset, I think they have been Barbiecore from the beginning.
So true.
And that's one of the things that keeps me liking that show, because I do find like the drama to be somewhat lacking in terms of like reality show conflict. But I just love seeing like hot, beautiful women strolling up to a glamorous mansion wearing an insane outfit that is not event appropriate.
The outfits. I like Chelsea's outfits, but this past season hurt my eyes. Like I was upset by most of them, and not just because it was 3 p.m. Just in general, some of it was, the majority of it was a miss to me.
Some are better than others. Like off the bat, I'm thinking like Amanda needs help. She needs a little bit of guidance. I would say the new villain, Nicole, is it Nicole is her name or what's her
name? Yeah, Nicole had
a full-blown makeover.
It happens first. I bet if I was on first season of a reality TV show, I would look at myself afterwards and say new hair, new makeup, new clothes. Like it was just a miss from the jump. And I'm sorry, but it just did not work.
But that's kind of the thing about Barbie. Like as a big Barbie girl growing up, like not all Barbies have great outfits. I had a lot of Barbies that outfits I didn't particularly like, but I like them because they are just like an interesting or like ugly outfit.
Fair.
And so it's about kind of having a mix for me. And that's what I like about Selling Sunset, is because you have literally dolls in varying states of outfits. So for that, I like Barbiecore, but as like a trend that I would do in earnest, it's like I wouldn't advise, unless you found like a very cute dress that felt like it would stand the test of time. But right now it's just like hard, like anything hot pink that I see, I associate it with Barbiecore. And I feel like if I was to wear it, people would then be associating me with Barbiecore, even if I was just wearing it because I was liking the color.
Yeah, I give Barbiecore a B plus. It's not for me, but I appreciate my eyes like it. if someone else chooses to do it.
Yeah.
And also, we would be remiss not to mention the one Valentino, I think it was 3 seasons ago, leaned into full hot pink and they just went hot pink everything all day long. I loved that. Like, that was so fun. And like, it, something about it looked rich and fresh. And I'm like fully here for it.
Yeah, I loved that season too. I'm going to give Barbie a core for we'll see how this pans out. And I like to see it, but I don't like the barbification. The Barbie marketing has like gone a little bit off the rails. I feel like I cannot turn a corner without seeing a Barbie collab of some sort.
The budget and the thought and the planning, I have respect for.
There's like a ruggable Barbie. Have you seen that pop up?
There's a whole Bloomingdale's.
Oh, I saw
various
that.
Various collabs with the rollerblades and just the whole deal. They have a whole homepage just for Barbie. I mean, it's over the top, but
how much can that like pay off? I guess like anything that anyone buys in those collabs like makes them money. So they're focusing on like, not only will people go see this movie, which hopefully will make like $1 billion, they're going to also buy collabs. They're going to buy the ruggable. They're going to buy Barbies for their kids. So it's like a multi-level marketing.
It was Mattel being a consumer product already. So they've already have a huge foot in the door in terms of manufacturing and all of that. It's not like it's like out of thin air.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Barbie movie, though. I'm divorcing that from like Barbie core, and I'm giving it like an A just speculatively.
I will see that movie, and I sort of stopped seeing movies. The last movie I saw in the theater was Megan. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not good, but I do feel like the last like good movie weekend was honestly when Bo is Afraid and Evil Dead Rise came out, and that was in April. So now we're in July, and what we have to look forward to movie-wise is like Barbie and Oppenheimer. But I'll take it.
Confession, I don't know what Oppenheimer's about.
Me neither, really, but I think it's about like an atomic bomb of some sort, but I'm like intrigued.
All right.
It sounds cool. Like, I read about it and I was like, okay, I'll see. I like a mix of like Barbie and then like something a little more sinister and moody.
Okay. What are your thoughts on this next trend? Coastal cowgirl.
Coastal cowgirl.
Cowboy boots, big buckles on your belts, plaid shirts, but at the beach? I don't know.
I do love a cowboy boot, and I have been looking for a good pair that's not going to read costumey, that also is in my size.
Right.
And that's not going to make my feet look smaller than appropriate. Because, you know, some shoes, I don't know, maybe other tall girls with large feet experience this sometimes, but sometimes I put shoes on and then I'm like, why do my feet look so small in comparison to my large body? And that throws me off. And I feel like if you make my feet look small, then I look bigger. And I'm trying to make everything just look totally like proportional.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then also a cowboy boot that's going to not hug too tightly around the calves, but have like a little bit of wiggle room space, but not too much. It's hard out there. So I've been on the hunt for probably a year and a half, like looking at various places, but I haven't found like that perfect pair. Because I do think that one great pair of cowboy boots is good to have in your closet.
Agree. I would say the best iteration of a cowboy boot out there right now is the Kate Dallas boots.
Those are cute. Yeah, they have a tiny little kitten heel, so it kind of elevates them. It takes them day to night. I do like those.
I did get the Sam Edelman dupe version.
They look really good.
For the fall winter season that I love. But I love them so much that I would consider a possible investment. Probably would need to be like a resale route, but I think those are the best examples. And then I was recently at the Ghani store on Melrose, and they have a really, like, the heel and the toe of their Western options are really cool. They also have a slide that the back is open version that were so sick.
The Ghani ones are really good. They come in my size, but they're not always available. And I'm just a little bit hesitant on pulling the trigger to the tune of $500 to $700 for a pair, just because I'm like, okay, this feels like I don't know if I'm going to wear them that much, but they are like perfect. I loved the red ones that they did. I was like, those are the ones, and the short ones are really cute too. So those are, I'm keeping my eye out on those, but it's hard to find them in a 42.
Post Sex and the City binge, when they're talking about pricey shoes being $400.
I fucking wish. They were living in like a fantasy land.
Times are crazy.
That's a mid-level shoe. That's like a shoe you get as a dupe that like, you're like, yeah, I can't spend $1,500 to $2,000 on the pair of shoes I really want, so I'm going to settle and spend $400, which is still a ton of money.
Times are wild.
But I do think that cowboy boots I wouldn't advise unless you have the means to go ham. But when it comes to shoes that you would wear a lot, I think that balling out on them is always a good investment.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get a lot of wear out of them. They're going to be really high quality. You can always take them to a shoe repair place and have them like resold or worked on, and they're still going to be like classic. So like, I will spend coin on like just expensive like staple shoes.
See, I've gone back and forth on that. I have had some really nice like investment shoes that are great, but ultimately they always wear and tear, sometimes get to a point where, depending on the material, they can't be rehabbed. And then coming from a consignment background, shoes are always tend to lose their value unless they're kept in pristine condition.
Yeah.
So it's just a toss up. But what I will say when it comes to Coastal Cowgirl, is it not just boho chic rebranded?
Yeah, I'm not understanding. There's no such thing as like a coastal cowgirl, because cowgirls are flyover states. So there's a little like marketing lingo at play here.
It's giving to me like a less ornate version of boho chic, made famous by
Sienna Miller.
My former boss, Rachel Zoe.
Oh, Rachel Zoe and Sienna
Miller. But also Sienna Miller is a great... I think Sienna Miller actually like nailed it.
And Kate
Moss.
But
Rachel... Yeah. But Rachel really like brought that look to so many of her clients in her heyday.
I know. All that these looks are missing for Coastal Cowgirl is the Moroccan belt or like a low-slung belt. I feel like we're not far away from seeing the low-slung belt come back to haunt us.
I will be certainly haunted by a low sun belt. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had the Moroccan belt from Urban Outfitters. I slung that belt low. I wore several belts on dresses that didn't need to be belted.
I loved adding a belt.
I loved adding a belt. But I'm of the mind that like that was then and this is now, and I don't see myself going back down like a low slung belt road. If anything, it's like a cinched waist.
So Coastal Cowgirl, I'm giving it a C for Coastal Cowgirl.
Yeah, I'm giving it a C minus, but I'm giving cowboy boots a B plus.
Yes, I'm here for a cowboy boot. I think it's a great investment. I think once you have it, you'll have it.
Yeah, a B plus, a B for be smart about how you acquire these cowboy boots you seek, but you'll be also be glad when you have them.
Concur. Okay, so side trend that I'm personally loving are a belt with a gold or silver hardware. Bottega's doing some really beautiful ones, but Below the Belt, which is a brand that's been around for a really long time. They have some really great options. And I just am loving how like a nice belt investment is going to just like pull it all together and just like update a look. And like you can wear it with like your shorts or pair of jeans. And I don't know, I went beltless for years. Now I'm onto a belt. I'm late, but I'm here. And I have to say, I'm just keeping my eye out there for belt options.
I know, I'm still on the hunt for a really good, thick, not break the bank belt in my size. And it is actually much harder to find than I initially thought.
Have you gone like the real route?
I could stand to do a real peruse, but I also agree. Like, I think a belt elevates any outfit. I think with especially like a jean short or a denim short, it'll upgrade you. And it's like a piece of jewelry for your waist.
What I do hate, though, is, and I'm sorry for anyone who's made the investment, but like a logo belt, like a Gucci logo belt or like a YSL logo belt or anything like that is not doing it for me.
No, it's not.
I don't like it.
I have a funny story, though. My dad, one Thanksgiving, showed up to our like Thanksgiving dinner wearing like a Gucci logo belt. And I was like, Dad, what is this belt? Like, where did you get this? He's never worn a logo, like anything in his life. And then my stepmom just aired his ass out. And she was like, oh, Curtis, the neighbor left that over here and he just took it. And now he is wearing it all the time. And she was like, isn't that right? And like, he basically like stole this logo belt from our like kooky neighbor. And so I would say if you are feeling the need to wear a logo belt, steal it from someone and wear it. That's the only like appropriate way. You should not spend a cent.
Why didn't the neighbor take his belt off at your dad's house?
I don't know. They were like real like party bros. So I think the neighbor had left like a lot of clothes over and like I didn't really get into it. I think that neighbor is like dead now. So RIP to him.
But thank you for the logo
belt. On to live in infamy.
I love that. So side trend that I didn't have on the list, but a nice belt with like a beautiful gold or silver hardware. I'm going to say a black belt.
A black belt, but it has to be like wider. It has to reach like the edges of the belt loops. That's the part that I'm having a hard time with, is finding one that's like wide enough.
I have to say my favorite one that's like slightly pricey but not breaking the bank is from Byfar. They have an amazing one that I would buy. Also, maybe there's going to be a Pinterest board that goes along with this episode so we can have a visual.
I think you need to be the belt guru here because I'm in serious need.
I've spent so much time. I got you.
Okay, cool.
So belts A+.
I give a belt an A+ because there's so many different iterations you can do. It's like not limiting and it does pull something together.
Yeah, and I think where I'm at right now is I'm not really trying to buy any new clothes, but a new accessory that's going to make everything feel just a little bit of an upgrade. Feels great.
Agree.
Okay, next we have ballet core.
I feel like ballet core has been happening a lot. I'm definitely into the like ballet flats of it all. And I've been searching for a good ballet flat, but that's also kind of a difficult and like tortured area because I don't know.
I've been fancy on the ballet flats myself because I really went hard on them back in the closet rich era of my life when I had my consignment business. I had an influx of the Lanvin. You remember the Lanvin flats?
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of like scrunchy around the width of them. I think it was like one or two people literally gave me like 15 pairs of these.
Wow.
My mom still has a
ballet flat rich.
Ballet, wow. I really was. And so I was selling those and those like weirdly had a really hard time to sell. So I'm scarred by just having to hold on to them for so long.
The scrunch factor is a hard resell.
But those were a popular item.
All the girls had them. I did not. I think mostly because they were very expensive at the time. And also, I don't know if they even made them in my size. But what I did have a plethora of were the Tory Burch ballet flats.
When I got the Tory Burch flat in, it was like orangey red.
Same.
I felt like I was the coolest on the planet.
Felt so rich. I felt
stylish.
Stylish. And then I went hard and had, at one point, I think I had like 5 pairs of Tory Burch flats. I was really, it's the kind of thing that I get into. I think I get this from my dad too, where it's like we'll like one thing and then hyper fixate on it and need to like
go beanie baby
on like a Grateful Dead shirt collection or Tory Burch flats.
Which, by the way, did you see there's a Beanie Baby movie coming out? Like about the history of the Beanie Baby craze.
Wow, this is great synergy. And yeah, perhaps time for me to get back to Oklahoma and start hawking those beanies.
Yeah, start going through the collection for sure. So the ballet flat, also for some reason to me, the image that is just seared in my mind is Amy Winehouse in her ballet flats.
Yeah, those I liked because they were actual ballet shoes.
Yeah.
And that was iconic of her. I actually have a lot of tips and tricks about and thoughts about what good ballet flats are out there right now and like where to go if you want.
You tell.
So I think if you want to go super high end, which are the ballet flats that I've had my eyes on for probably 2 years now and haven't pulled the trigger on, are the Row ballet flats. And they have, it's like a soft leather with just like an elastic strap across. And it feels very much like training wheels ballet flats when you're first taking a ballet class.
Okay. You can't just do Capizio?
You could, but you're not going to get the same structure. You're going to get like probably a little more like, my toes are like a little knobby in some areas and I don't want those to like poke through. And it's like,
fair.
The Row just feels, it feels good to me.
Okay.
However, there's like a price barrier to a Row ballet flat moment. So then I was looking around and I think Loeffler Randall makes really good ballet flats. They're still expensive. They're probably like $275 or like maybe $200 because they go on sale pretty often. But those come in all different colors, iterations. They have some cute like raffia ones that are like woven but like perforated in like a nude and a black, which are really cute. And they make them up to size 12, which I recently discovered is too large for me. So they're really representing like really big foot girls, which I appreciate. And they have them in like a classic pink. So you can have like a Capizio moment, or you can get like a nude or a black or like a taupe or like a dark brown. I also have seen some girlies in the Miu Miu satin ballet flats. I feel like those are definitely a trend buy. Like really, they're an only buy if you have just truly $1,000 to like throw away that you know you're like.
I'm just going to say like maybe those have hit DHgate.
They have. Yeah. I know that they have.
Yeah.
And I know that they don't make them on DHgate up to my size, but I think they will make them up to like a size 40, I want to say. So that's like a great option for like $35, which is really what those should retail for anyways, because they're going to get so dirty. Like those are true LA shoes that you can only wear from like the car to the coffee shop. The ones that have really got me fixated, but I don't think they make them in my size. And they're also like so expensive, it would be imprudent to purchase, are the Alaya mesh ones that are like a webbed mesh, and they kind of come down lower on the foot so they have more foot coverage, but then you see the foot through them. And at first I was like, these are so ugly, and then I was like, wait a second, these are actually incredible.
Joey's mom and I were just talking about the mesh ballet flat trend.
Yeah. And that now you can find so many mesh ones, like Mango makes them. I'm pretty sure Zara makes a pair. I think if you even wanted to go on DHgate, they probably have a ripoff. So I would say, unless you're going like truly just classic The Row, which has staying power, if the rest of them are trendy and you should just buy cheap.
Agree. When I like this Loeffler Randall.
Yeah, the strap tip on the top is a key, because I don't think we're doing like, we're not in a place of like Tory Burch flats anymore. No. You have to have the ballet strap.
Yeah, agree.
Poshmark also, I have to say, I just found a pair of some of the ugliest, coolest shoes I've ever bought, which are the Miu Miu satin ballet flats, but in a spadrille flat form with leather buckle, black buckles across the top. So it's like three different aesthetic sensibilities wrapped into one, with also attachable, detachable ribbons that you can tie up your leg. And those are great. And I found them in my size, brand new, from a seller who sold them for like $300, and I had no choice but to buy them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's also, if you can find like a really weird kind of ugly hot version, that's a good route to go as well.
I think if I were going to do them, I would do them in a nude, just mm-hmm. so it has like a barefoot aesthetic.
Comfy.
Yeah. I as a short, I love a nude shoe. Yeah. Usually if it's in the heel form, it just like elongates. But at this point, as I said, I just don't no longer care. Also on the ballet core front, I mentioned that I've just been living in biker shorts lately. And the brand of biker shorts that I prefer is from Splits 59. Do you know this brand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they just came out with a ballet capsule collection. Actually super cute, but I have to say I'm very particular when it comes to my legging or bike short material. I consulted with a brand that used to be sold at Net-a-Porter called One, W-O-N-E. They sadly mm-hmm. didn't make it through the pandemic, but we were like really material obsessed. This material that Splits uses is different than the One material, but I almost like it just breathes really nicely and is super flattering. And it's pretty much all I've been wearing lately. So shout out to them. I'm a material queen, and this is good stuff.
I'm liking what I see. I think a way to get in on it too, if you're not wanting to just be like ballet core in the streets, but you want like a little bit of ballet core action nonetheless, is like getting like a little jumpsuit that you can wear for a workout class.
Yeah, like a little like a onesie yoga moment. Class. Yeah.
A onesie jumpsuit is great, and like a lot of different brands make those.
Yeah, it's choose your own adventure with the brand.
Yeah. But the again, like I've already been through the like wearing leg warmers as a fashion statement trend in the early 2000s. So that is like another thing, much like the boho belt. I can't revisit.
Can't go back. Yeah. So much of things I've been seeing in the department stores, like I love just to go to a store and just like walk around. It just soothes me.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, so much of what I see is stuff that already happened. And I know that's fashion's always cyclical and I get that, but there's something about it that's like, so many different trends have been repurposed lately. It's like boho chic, lots of like flower lapels. Like it's all just all out on the floor right now. And I'm having a distaste for it.
Yeah, I'm like struggling to find what will be like the defining aesthetic of now. But I'm also like, once you go, if you go into just like easy, comfortable clothing that makes you feel good, that's the sweet spot.
Right.
And then which obviously think, like try a trend, put a leg warmer on even though you're not going to a ballet class, sporty. Coming from a ballet class. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was like wearing leg warmers with, do you remember leg warmers and flip-flops?
Yep. Tried it.
That was Me. You could do that actually to go to a bar method class. A lot of the bar method girlies loved wearing a leg warmer.
I love a leg warmer for a class. Leaning in. But I don't. I just for life, I'm not there personally.
No, for life, it's I've tried it and I loved it, but I've advanced on to the next level.
And I feel like the next level is this next trend, which we covered in our Q2 trend forecast. Quiet luxury. So, aka clean girl, easy hero pieces.
Yeah. I think quiet luxury is annoying me now because it's like all over the algorithm and it's like become a catch-all for just like a well-tailored basic.
Right. And also like the poster child for said quiet luxury somehow is Sophia Richie, which I don't quite understand. Like, hats off to her, but like it's not quiet.
Yeah, it's very like obvious rich person.
Yeah
I think just like probably the most like quiet luxury piece that I have gotten, I got a blazer from Acne a couple years ago that's just like an oversized black wool blazer that I was like, this will last me a really long time and it's expensive, but I can wear it with jeans. I can wear it over a dress that's long. I can wear it over a dress that's short. Like I could wear it with certain types of shorts and like it will just serve me really well. And then it's like well-made and nice material. So that was like good.
Yeah. That's how I feel about like a great sweater. I love sweaters, a beautifully made, beautifully cut sweater. I'm good and I will invest because I pretty much will wear it every day.
Yeah, I feel that way about sweaters too, where I'm like, the resale on sweaters isn't great. So it's better to just like go cashmere and wear until you can't possibly wear it anymore. And then you're always going to have like good quality fabric. Also right now, summertime is a great time to buy sweaters.
Great time for sweaters. I have to say there's a brand that I think that recently I've liked a lot of their things and it's sort of trendy, but it has like a clean girl aesthetic, quiet luxury energy to it. And I was surprised to learn it's influencer brand adjacent. It's the brand is Helsa and it's Elsa, what's her last name?
Elsa Hosk,
the model. Their stuff is really good. I actually ordered this linen long maxi coat from them. They carry it at Forward and Revolve, but I ended up returning it because I just don't think Los Angeles in the dead of the summer, I'm going to be getting much wear out of a maxi linen coat, but it's great in theory. And if it's still there in the fall, I'll truly invest. But I do really surprisingly like a lot of their pieces, and they have a really good Kate Duke sweater, the cardigan. And then you introduced me to, was it Lisa Yang,
truly the best cashmere brand of all time, maybe. Incredible cashmere sweaters, super expensive full price, but they go on crazy sale on like Essence, on this other like Italian website that I found that will sell them like at like 80% markdowns. And right now is like a good time to just scoop a bunch of them up and then you'll have them in the winter in their classic colors and shapes. Like you're not going to be disappointed.
Now's a great time to sweater shop.
Mm-hmm.
Have to say. Quiet luxury, I'm going to give it an A, even though it is a little bit of an eye roll right now. I just think it's like, it's a trendy way of saying classic, nice investment pieces that feel easy and rich.
And I think it's also like good materials that last. So like linens, cashmere, wool, materials that aren't synthetic, that age well. Like cashmere, I didn't realize doesn't pick up any, it scents won't linger on it, so like it won't pick up any like BO, it won't pick up like and hold perfumes, because like it's made out of like Mongolian fur or some shit that just like those animals, their fur or shearling is made to just like slough off all that stuff. And so I'm into like a non-BO kind of
definitely
fabric.
Also, I think it's just about like getting a tailor. Like it doesn't, you can really go over the years. I've gotten a lot of vintage or inherited a lot of vintage that was a little mid when it comes to like initially, but then get a good tailor involved and it up levels it exponentially. So
true.
That's a big part of it.
And quiet luxury is not about like finding, to me, like I know it's like an aesthetic or whatever that you can find all these like dupes to then get the aesthetic that you're looking for. But that's, to me, it's more about just being like, oh, I want a sweater that I'm going to have for the next like 5 to 10 years and like paying for that sweater and then being like, yeah, I feel good when I wear this sweater and it's like nice material.
Mm-hmm.
And people may not know it, but it's pretty expensive.
What do you think about, I think like the cousin to this is Who What Wear is calling out 90s minimalism as a trend right now.
I like it. I don't think that that's like even a trend. I think that that's just like a nice streamlined look.
I love it. I feel like I'm able to now dress the way I wanted to dress when I was like a kid, the way I was like obsessed mm-hmm. with how like all the adults were dressing. So I like it. It's fun yeah. to see stuff like come back around and then being able to be your adult self in it.
Yeah. And I like it too, because it's like you can do very simple basics, like a kind of slouchy pair of jeans and a tank top or something. And then you do like a cute pair of earrings and then you're pretty much done.
So I give that an A minus.
Same.
For 90s minimalism. And then maxi skirts as a piece is a trend.
I had a dream about a maxi skirt last night and I spilled something on it and was upset, but I liked the maxi skirt that I was wearing. But it's hard to find a maxi skirt that like speaks to me right now. There's this one creator that I follow on TikTok named Lily Sisto that I got obsessed with when I first found her. And she'll do like a long kind of linen tiered maxi skirt with like a very simple like spaghetti strap tank top. And I think that that's like great summer vacation, summertime look with like a flip flop. But then I'm like, can I do this? Like, am I a loser if I do this? I don't know.
I think you could try it.
I'm struggling, but I also don't want to spend, you know, she works right. for Love Shack Fancy, and I'm not about to drop like Love Shack Fancy coin on a maxi skirt.
I feel like I'm not a Love Shack Fancy girl. It's a little too Rachel Ashwell shabby chic for my liking.
I want to be one, but every time I wear one, I feel like a fraud. It's either too short, like my literal ass cheeks and vagina are exposed, or I'm like, who am I right now? And I can't. So we'll see.
On the maxi skirt.
I would like a tiered white linen maxi
cute.
Skirt for summer.
Yeah. So have you heard of the brand Dish? D-I-S-S-H?
Yes.
Okay. So they had... They're an Australian brand online. They definitely have like fed all the influencers. So we've probably all seen it to some capacity over the past few months. They did a pop-up at Platform in Culver City that I went to check out because I was really curious about what the product looked like in person slash what sizing would be. They mm-hmm. have some really nice maxi skirt options, linen, mm-hmm. very cute. I really liked the pieces up front. The price point isn't crazy, so I appreciate that. It also runs really long, so really good if you're tall. Not so great if you're not tall.
Yeah, I've been making a Dish wish list for a long time because they're doing, like, everything is very 90s minimalism, and it's, like, a lot of linen.
Yeah.
And, like, good quality fabric, so I'm excited. Is the pop-up still happening or
no? I think it ended.
Sad.
Yeah. But it was nice to, I just like to touch and see things. Also, when I make a purchase, like I can't impulse buy. I have to see it, try it on, walk away, think about it. Like it comes from having worked in fashion so long, just constantly being around so much fabric my whole working life that I just feel so overwhelmed by it. And then having my online consignment business, I was always taking other people's discarded items and trying to sell it off. So my head just goes to like the lifespan of a garment and how annoying it is when you don't want something anymore. And like, do you give it away? Like that's a process. Selling it off is a process. Like it's just, I just always think about the lifespan. And so I'm really, really picky now. And then since I've been doing Yard Stars, which is like a pop-up resale thing that I do in LA, which I like to lean more towards home furnishings and that sort of thing because that's just more fun for me right now. But we do clothes and it's just like so annoying selling that shit off. I mean, it's fun and I love it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it, but it's just like some stuff. It's just like, oh my gosh, like the retail value of this was so high and it's just like pulling teeth getting rid of it.
I know. I think about that a lot because I'm like an avid posher. So whenever I do closet purges and then go through the process of like listing and selling something on Poshmark, like I try and think when I buy something, like, will I be able to posh this if I get sick of it? Will I get sick of it and want to posh it? Will I end up having to posh it and like take a huge hit on the resale value? And that all that factors into like, is it worth it for me? But some stuff is like, with trends, it's like, okay, is this just I'm purchasing this because it's trendy, but is it going to be trendy enough in 6 months to where I know that I can posh it and like recoup the costs? And then it's basically like I rented it for a period of time, or like I only paid like a third of the retail price when it's all said and done and I got the wares I wanted, and then it goes to someone else who really likes it and gets a lot out of it.
Yeah, there's so much to think about. It's real mental gymnastics.
But I do love the posh cycle as far as like feeling better about shopping, because then I know that I will also sell or make room and like
totally
not just like having throwaway things.
If anyone's in LA, we always get questions about LA Recs, and there's three resale stores, independent resale stores and vintage stores that I wanted to shout out because I love them so much. They're all on the east side and they all have a great selection. The first one is Gift of Garb, which is designer consignment. And they have a constant influx of items coming in and a really great curation. I just love going in there. It's great. They also have an Instagram that you can check out and see what they currently get in. Then a vintage store that I love called Recollection. It's on Hoover Street. They have an Instagram as well. They don't have a website, but a really amazing curation of vintage. And I literally go there once a week just to look around. They do such a great job. And then there's a consignment / vintage store called MARKT. I think they pronounce it Mark, but it's Mark, like it's spelled with a T at the end.
Market.
I actually just consigned a bunch of dresses there that the woman that runs it has such a great eye. They have like a really nice point of view. It's like very boutique-y. It doesn't feel consignment-y or vintage-y. You just feel like you're going into a cool shop. And actually, I had sent you a picture because when we were talking about, I like almost had like a full blown aneurysm when I walked in there because they had a Juicy Couture green ruching at the top dress that we were talking about in the Sex and the City episode. And right after we had that conversation, I walked in and I saw that dress and I was like, whoa. But it was a Liz Claiborne era version. So it had ruffles at the bottom and a pocket. So I was like, never mind. But
it was almost too good to be true.
It was too good to be true. I was just like, wow, just say it. And so it is, you know,
speak it into existence.
Exactly. So that's just my little secondhand roundup.
I love that. I give the maxi skirt an A. I like a maxi skirt. I think that it will serve you well. Like, it's a good summertime. It's vacation. It's light. It's airy. I think wearing a skirt specifically in summer is nice. And yeah, I like a long. Also, it's like as I get older, even though I'm not like old by any means, but I am more aware of like hem lengths and like what feels appropriate for a hem length. And I just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm open to a maxi skirt addition. I think they'll move really nicely into fall too. Mm-hmm. And I as a short, I like any like elongation, and you can achieve that with a maxi skirt.
Indeed.
Okay, last but not least, we have rosette appliques, which we're seeing a lot of lately, and I'm not really into it. It just reminds me of yesteryear. It's another one of those.
This is a lot for me. Yeah.
It's another one of those that I'm just like, we've done that, and I can't revisit.
No, it's a, if you must try the trend, get it on like Mango, do it a couple times, and then send it off to Trash Island where it would invariably end up anyways.
It is absolutely Destination Trash Island eventuality that I just
it's can't a 100% going to Trash Island. A new small part of Trash Island probably formed recently that is just
it's a garden of rosettes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful garden that popped up
in a line
seasonally on Trash Island. Yeah. If you truly feel like you are a girl who's just always going to go back to like needing to put on a Chanel thing, I guess drop a bunch of coin on one rosette that you're going to put on and it's going to be like your thing till the end of time. But otherwise, live your Trash Island truth, I guess.
Get to the craft store. Find
make one.
Yeah, make one.
Find
DIY.
Them on Etsy.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are many Etsy makers. Tony has feels about rosettes. He's also not a fan.
Yeah, I give it a D for don't.
A D for definitely not. There's one girl that I follow on TikTok, and she, or on TikTok and on Instagram, and she's like this very pretty Australian girl who's just, it's like she's doing all the trends that I used to go through like in my 20s, but she does them, they just look so great and she's so cute. But then I also have to remind myself that she's like probably almost like 18 years younger than I am, which is shocking to say out loud. But I've made the mistake of once, like she had this like cute Zara top, so then I needed to get the cute Zara top and found it on Poshmark from a true Poshmark charlatan who lied about like the condition of the Zara top. And
oh, you run the risk.
I know. And I was like, this is what I get for letting this like young influencer like guide my like purchases. Mm-hmm. So it's like the rose, and she did a rosette. It looked so cute. And I was like, do I need one? But then my like awful Poshmark experience came back to front of mind and I stopped myself before anything got too crazy. Oof.
Tough,
but I love
there.
It for the 20 somethings.
Like, yeah, because I think if you haven't done it before, everyone needs a flower. Everyone needs their Carrie Bradshaw experience. So I'm in support, but it's just not me. I've already done it.
And they're so like the way and the access that they have to so many different iterations of those looks are great, because I feel like we were really limited when it was our mm-hmm. turn to do the trends. It was like really you had like Abercrombie.
Charlotte Russe, Arden B.
Yeah, like you weren't getting so many choices.
We had them all.
Yeah. So, and they have now the entire worldwide e-commerce web, plus like every shopping store. So it's like, it's great. And I like to watch them.
When we used to visit Los Angeles when I was a kid, because I was born in LA and then moved back to Michigan where my parents raised me, thank God. And then, but their friends were always there. So we would go visit. And when we got to go to Fred Siegel, it was just like my brain like exploded from my body, because it was so exciting to see like all of these new trends, and just the fashion of it all just was so thrilling. And now it's like you can see it online, and it just, it's just such a different experience. And I will say, like, my favorite thing to do in life is to be under the covers with my iPad looking at clothes online. Like, it is truly my favorite thing. So I still get that same visceral experience. It's just I don't have to get on a plane and rely on, you know, a merchandiser to tell me what's cool. I can find it myself. So
true.
Tech.
I want to share also, just while we're on the topic of clothes, a recent rec that was like revelatory to me is that Zara has such good jeans and denim options.
You're the second person to say that to me this week.
I went to the Zara sale at the Broadway store in Soho while I was in New York and cleaned the fuck up on jeans. I got like probably 6 pairs of jeans and a pair of jean shorts for less than I would pay for like one pair of expensive like Citizens of Humanity jeans.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't want to say never, but I was like, I may never buy an expensive pair of jeans ever again.
Wow. I have to try this.
I bought like a couple pairs of these stretch marine cut denim jeans that I'm not like a stretch jean kind of person, but I was like, these are cute. And I feel like they'll work with a lot of things. They have a lot that are just like 100% organic cotton denim, which I was like, it's a good like loose fit, high rise kind of baggy jean. I was like, they're doing something really, really right with their denim right now.
Too niche tip.
Mm-hmm. The world is your oyster when it comes to any sort of fashion choices.
We will provide a visual representation of the trends and selects that we included in today's episode via a Pinterest board. So check that out. And thank you guys so much for listening.
Until next time.
Stay niche.
Stay niche.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shanehalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.